Hello and welcome to The Other Marketing Guys. My name is Simon Elke, and with me in the studio I have Martin Kahn.
Hello.
How are you?
I'm great, actually.
Now we actually have almost the same haircut.
Yeah, almost.
The last time you decided to trim the hair and you said, don't mention on the podcast.
Ah, yeah.
And now I got trimmed as well. I actually were like bald at some point, like really bald.
A miracle happened.
No, my girlfriend told me not to be bald.
And then you stopped being bald.
Yeah. No, but like now my the hairlines are messing with me. So
yeah. Same. It's kind of like a necessity to take care of the hair every day. So I'm just like, fuck.
No,
it. Just
off with the hair.
Buzz it, yeah.
Off with the head. So we have some news for you today. We have some learnings, actually. We don't have questions from the community, from my community, because I haven't prepared. We have had a week off, I don't actually remember if there's any questions. I think there is actually questions, but it's regarding to what we're going to talk about today, which is most of all some related to the Google algorithm change, and then you have some news.
Yeah.
I have some learnings. I'm going to put it into the news part, but the biggest news must be around this algorithm change. First of all, we have the shout out to our sponsor or the show. You have a sponsor.
Shout out for the sponsor. Yes.
Yeah. So
Our sponsor today is MorningScore. MorningScore is actually a new SEO tool that helps you track your keyword. By the way, I come prepared today, not like previous times. MorningScore is a new SEO tool that helps you track keywords, find and manage links, optimize your site's health according to Google's guidelines, and shows you optimization suggestions. For those of you who run agencies out there, MorningScore helps easily show your clients what your SEO inputs actually do, which helps you get more clients. Try it free for 14 days on morningscore.io. There's no credit card required, there's no bullshit, and it takes just a minute to sign up.
Yeah.
And that is it.
So if anything, I can really, I have an SEO agency, I'm not going to mention more about that, but I am using this tool actually for especially the health check part. You know, I love this part.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of tools doing different things, but there's actually this qualitative data inside MorningScore, because if you use like a tool like Screaming Frog, you can get a lot of data that many people don't know what to do with.
Yeah.
But MorningScore tells you like, do this, step one, do this to fix some issues. So, and they have like a rating
system. Yeah.
It's rating like this is more critical than this. I don't agree with everything, because you emphasize a lot of on the meta descriptions, and I don't write meta descriptions anymore, so it's like, but it is best practice SEO, so it's actually the real thing, the right thing to do to emphasize this, because it is best practice to emphasize the meta.
That is actually one of the things, because I don't know if I mentioned this before, but let's say someone comes to us and asks, okay, so you guys suggest that we should add these keywords in the title of the page or the H1 of the page, something like that. And I always tell them, okay, so it really matters for you. Like, you have to make the ultimate decision, right? Because it really matters whether this page gets SEO traffic and is supposed to like be optimized for SEO, or if it's a page that's supposed to convert. Because if you don't get any traffic on that page, there's literally no point in ruining the user experience and ruining your story, so to speak, the story you're trying to create, just by having a keyword.
Also, it's about the click.
Yeah,
exactly. So if you can get the click for the search without even mentioning the keyword, it's not that important. Yeah. It just needs to be highly relevant for the keyword.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Actually, I have a little bit of a news right here to sneak in now that we're talking about H1 tags. I think there was a Google talk recently with John Mueller.
Yeah, we talked about this in my other show as well. Yeah, okay. The Danish show. But yeah, come.
Yeah, cool. Basically, John Mueller, I think he confirmed and dismissed myths about the H1 tags, because he said that it doesn't necessarily matter whether you have or how many H1 tags you have on a page, which is kind of like one of the SEO best practices of the last 20 years or something.
I don't agree with them.
Yeah, same. It's like architecture is hierarchy.
Yeah, and I'm actually reading something else into it. It's like asking a politician about a question. So I have to like translate this in my mind because I just went through it in Danish.
Yeah.
it's like you asked, would it be better for me to have one H1? Would I optimize my site and have mm-hmm. one H1? And he answers.
Yeah.
We can read this page well and understand it, even if you have more.
More, yeah.
So he doesn't answer the question about, do I optimize my site if I do the one H1? And he just answers like, we can read it well. As I understand it, he steers around the question about if it's optimization to do one H1, which I think it is, because the other thing is confusing.
Yeah.
Confusion.
That's exactly my thought. Like, I think it's confusing to have. It's kind of like, let's say you have five home pages on a site. It's similar. Yeah. It's architecture. You have to follow some structure. I think in the article that I found, they quoted something from him where he said that you can have zero or you can have five and it has the same effect, something like that. But I do agree that he kind of acts like a politician, and I guess it kind of is his job to be a politician, because there was a similar case with, what was it? Someone asked whether...
Someone actually asked at one point, is it better to do something in links pointing to the site?
Yeah.
And he answers about links on page.
Yeah.
Because he won't even put into his mind or talk about external link building.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking. Someone asked about category pages, how they should handle them. Like, how do you kind of make sure that category pages show up for the proper like keywords and so on and so on? And someone like mentioned, oh, should we build links to category pages? And he was like, oh, yeah, you know.
In your own content.
Yeah, links are good. Like, we handle them like nice. Like, yeah, sure, dude.
So he every time someone asks about something like...
edgy.
Yeah, no, just something optimization, then he replies something else, I think.
Yeah.
That's his job. No, okay, we're going to talk about the algorithm now.
Boom.
The last, it's September 24th or September 25th, I can't remember the exact date.
Yeah, 24th, yeah.
Yeah, the broad core algorithm rolled out, and they actually warned about it just like 12 hours before or something. And the algorithm is the same sort of algorithm that we had in June 6th and August 2018. Some call it a medic update because it has been hitting some medical sites really hard.
Yeah.
And but it's actually like more to it. It's YAML, it's your money, your life, and crypto sites and dangerous information.
Okay, I have a question. Have you, like, do you have any specific cases for that, or is it
we just in this show? I actually think we talked about a Dr. Mercula.
Yeah,
is it right?
Yeah.
I learned after the case that he is not only talking about like vegan something and fasting and alternative medicine. He's also a publicly known anti-vaxxing guy. So it's actually dangerous content he has been promoting amongst his alternative medicine. So there is Google is trying to sort out this dangerous information. And I have a case. I can't tell you the name or the person or the gender or anything. But it's a site about smoothies that lost like everything and all the organic traffic.
Okay, after the recent
after
update.
This update.
Yeah, okay.
I had a site in June 6th update that lost like 50%, 60%.
Shit.
And my former colleague, who's now working as an affiliate guy, he had one of his sites losing 50-60% in this update too.
So what was the topic on the site?
His site
and your site as well.
My site was working out.
Yeah.
So just fitness related stuff. Yeah.
Health and well-being, I guess.
Yeah. We like more products.
Okay.
So it's, you know, in Denmark the SEO, you can go for a straight for the head sales search.
Yeah.
Not like in if you do international SEO, you do for sentences or something. Yeah. But this site about these smoothies were like claiming a lot of stuff to, but it's not actually wrong, I would say. But it was a BuzzFeed approach.
Okay.
Like 31 recipes for smoothies that will help you lose weight, or 31 recipes that will boost your energy or give you a better life or something.
Okay, so this is more health and well-being now.
Yeah. And they just lost everything.
Wow.
What I found out was they had, I don't know how it was, either they had a guest post on Dr. Mercula's blog or the other way around.
Wow.
So there's a linking between these sites, so it's all connected somewhere.
Wow.
But and they just lost everything. It's like, I think it was 7 years of work down the toilet.
Shit.
Yeah.
Is there any particular factors you think have affected?
I think it's the claiming content. Claiming that. My one advice to her, I talked to her a little bit about it. It was, instead of saying 31, what do you call it, recipes for losing weight, it's you will do 31 smoothie recipes with under 100 calories. Because that's fact.
That's a fact, yeah.
You can't say that you'll lose weight. If I add something to my diet, I'm not going to lose weight.
Yeah, exactly.
Maybe if I replace something in my diet.
Exactly.
Or yeah. But you can't just add something and then lose weight.
Exactly.
That's just not how it works. Yeah. So but there was also a post about some diseases you can help reduce inflammation.
Inflammation
and
yeah.
some form. It's probably true, but Google doesn't know.
Right.
So it feels like the last couple of updates, Google's doing like, if we don't know, you're out. We don't know that this content is true, then you're out.
It's a safe bet for them, I guess.
It's safe than sorry. Better safe than sorry.
Yeah.
So I know crypto sites that lost traffic. I know the these health-related sites, sexual partnership, what do you call it?
Like dating or what?
No, yeah, it's more like a sexual, what do you call it? Relationship advice for like, better sex life. And
consultants
so on.
Or what? Relationship consultants? Or is it just general blogs?
A blog. Affiliate blog about sexual products. So, Jesper's blog, actually.
Oh, okay.
Nice. And then my side was just like ranking on yoga equipment and so on.
Okay.
But all in all, it's all about eat.
But I have a question actually about before you continue. What are kind of like, how does the Google kind of like the manual reviewer process work?
I think it is an algorithm. So it's what we're going to talk about is how you can maybe counteract this algorithm. It's a hard word. But because as far as I know, no one has successfully recovered from a Weimel bashing yet. But I have some ideas on how to check your EAT, because EAT is expertise, authority, and trust.
Yeah.
If you had to, you have to have like high EAT to be able to write about financial advice, legal advice, health advice, advice about your life, or something that that impacts you. It's especially about if you tell me something wrong, it could be dangerous for either
dangerous
my money
things,
or my life. So therefore it's your money, your life, why more updates. So but to check your EAT, like EAT is for this, is for the author of the article and for the page. I have this idea where you can, if you Google the name of the author, what is in Google? So what is ranking like page one or page two? The first thing, if you Google my name, Simon Elkjær, in, it's a Danish name because I have a Danish letter in my name.
It's a Danish
letter,
it's
not a very... Not very many people and have this name. It's actually we have a soccer player who has the same name as me, but he's not pro, so I'm lucky. But if you Google my name, I am an author, I'm a podcast host, and I have a YouTube channel, and I'm talking about online marketing all over the place. So I have this author profile in Google. So when I publish something then about SEO or about marketing, then Google know, okay, this guy has talked about this before and has talked about it in the post at our ranking.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how Google yet is doing this, some sort of connection.
This is what I want to
ask
you.
We're trying to figure that out. I don't know if they are doing it really well yet. Mm-hmm. I think they're trying to figure it out. But we talked about in my, like, what if your name was John Smith?
Yeah.
It's like just...
Millions.
Yeah. So they have to connect it with the domain name. So if your domain name is workout, maybe, then something, then maybe John Smith workout. So it's if there's a lot of content online with John Smith from workout and John Smith some content and then from workout.com and so on.
It probably is something like the way they measure local businesses, like citations.
Yeah.
When you have an
app. I think so too. So now we have been talking, there's been a lot of talk about these unlinked mentions online.
Yeah.
But I think now it's where they prove the value. It's in your EAT profile. So if you, Google says so in your in the general guidelines that you are actually able to use what you call it in Danish translated and as an artist name or artistic name. You don't have to use your own name, your own true name. You don't have to use that because no one actually knows. You just have to build some sort of authority in your name.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm choosing to go with Simon Hansen, that's my actual name.
Mm-hmm.
And my last name is not Elke, it's my middle name. Yeah. So I've been a lot of problem with that flying. But so if I go with Simon Hansen instead, then if you Google Simon Hansen, this is like, Hansen is maybe the most used last name in Denmark, Hansen and Jensen.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's why I don't use it. So I use my middle name instead.
Yes.
And when using my middle name, there's almost no competition in Google. So I am able to build my own profile.
That's smart. Yeah.
Yeah. So if your name is John Smith, you could maybe, if you're working with hammers and tools, you could maybe call yourself John Hammersmith. I don't know. Or a toolsmith. Yeah. there's a lot of JT tools or something. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Nice. But just if you do go out and do guest
posting,
appearance in podcasts, in YouTube and all that, just use the same name again and again and again and again all over the place. And make sure that if Google ever Google's your domain name as well. It's where the social profiles get into some sort of value that you may not get a link from a Facebook page or from a Pinterest or from Instagram. Some of no follow, some is not just no link. But if you have like an active Facebook, an active Instagram, an active TikTok, an active Snapchat, and go on and on and on, then Google will see, okay, this is a business, or this is at least something active.
Yeah, exactly.
So there's the domain name is have some authority, have some real existence behind it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And if you Google like my business name, you'll in Denmark there's a lot of like there's business API tools for like in Denmark we have quite public register of companies.
And
so
that's fucking awesome, by the way.
Yeah, it's even more public in Sweden actually.
Really?
So you can see business information and my accounting
the
reports.
The balance sheet, everything.
Yeah, you can see literally almost everything. Yeah. So if you just have a business in Denmark, it's like there's maybe 10 online mentions you'll get automatically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if I compare this to a site that does not have anything, then Google needs to say, okay, this site is either brand new or it's just not real.
Mm. Yeah.
Because if it were real, why is no one talking about it? No one.
Exactly. I've actually heard that they might also do like who is lookups to see for how long the website is registered.
Yeah, you can see that in Cloudflare.
Yeah, if it's masked, maybe you can't. You're right.
So Cloudflare is like hosting, I think it's like 8 or 12% of the entire internet or something.
Damn.
So it's blocked. So they can't use that because Cloudflare is not a bad ranking signal.
Yeah. Okay.
So that there's been talking about that a lot in the community. I'm a part of Income School community.
Mm-hmm.
They talked about this some time, like, okay, it doesn't matter where IP is hosted, but no, it doesn't, because if you use like Cloudflare for it's a CDN,
called the delivery network.
But we talked about this. If you Google my name, Samuel Kerr, you will get these domains, and if you Google the business name as well, you'll get all this sort of, okay, this is a real business, this is a real guy, and this guy has been mentioned in this site as a marketing expert, or this site as an SEO expert, and so on. They did in the forum, in the Income School, they tried like Googling Ricky Kessler, which is one of the hosts on the show, Income School. If you Google him, it's like one of the first posts. It's like author at Income School. So like an author profile is building from his name. So yeah. Then we had this question. It's actually the question I was talking about earlier. What if you have 5 websites? What if you have 100 websites?
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I think the domain name cross-referenced with your name at some point will do, because you should be able to write about horses and online marketing if you want to, because people have more hobbies.
Mm-hmm.
I think actually like people who has a big website or do websites has more than one website always.
Yeah, yeah.
There's not a lot of people who have one website.
Yeah.
So it's quite normal, I think.
So how do you handle that normally?
It's about building this. So I don't think the Eat profile from my online marketing presence in Denmark would translate to me talking about something completely else.
Mm-hmm. So you have to build it from ground zero again?
Yeah.
Damn.
But it's just like regular marketing.
Yeah, okay.
But like a new brand. If I were writing about how to recover from a knee injury or something, then I would have to have these mentions all over the place as Dr. Simon, a knee injury doctor, Simon or something, MD. A regular title. If I had all these mentions that if Google's my name, searches for my name or indexes my name, okay, this guy has been talking about this a lot on different websites.
Yeah.
So don't even think that the link back is good. We know links are good for SEO, but for Eat, I don't think a link is necessary. If you have a clear mention of your name and a clear mention of your title and this website is from. I think for Eat, Google are able to index it, especially if you have a guest post on the website where your name is in the title tag. Like guest writer Simon, author from Ireland, from this and this blog.
Kneeinjury.com.
Yeah, knee expert, knee injury doctor, MD. So, but it's something that interests me a lot because no one has really recovered from this Wimble update yet, and no one has have the real remedy for it. But the EATS, the expertise, authority, and trust, is most definitely going to be rolled out for all niches, I think. So I think if you're going to blog about horses and horse gear or brushes, I don't know, then you need to establish them now before it hits your niche. You need to establish yourself as a horse author.
Okay.
And something that people are doing right now is consolidating the posts. If they had like 10 authors on the website or 20 or 25 or something, they are consolidating it all onto one.
Mm-hmm.
One author. Google can't tell the difference if you're 10 different people writing it, because your writing style might change during the years.
Yeah.
But consolidating under one author would and do an author profile on the website. I'm a horse enthusiast. I love Icelandic horses and brushing them. I don't know what horse people do.
I think they ride them.
Yeah. But that, yeah, expensive hobby. But yeah.
I have two questions actually about this. Can I interrupt now or do you have more?
Oh.
Okay. Yeah. First, how should you handle this in terms of like a WordPress website, let's say? Should you enable the author section and then, as you say, like be able to see an author profile?
Yeah, and also author section with like three lines of your bio.
Yeah.
And then a read more.
And then add the author, like a, I don't know how you call it, not widget, but you know, a little like a thumbnail on every post?
Yeah, or what? Okay. If you can.
Okay.
You don't have to have the picture, but it's just like if Google can connect, okay, this picture and this name and this link is from every post.
Yeah.
And then to maybe a site called About or Author Bio or About Author or About This Page or something, depending on if you have more authors. If you have like three authors, genuine authors, then you do an author bio for each.
Okay.
And then you link to it. So, okay, Google can see, okay, this is about this author. And then you might need to have some external links to the author page from other sites mentioning you as an author. So if you are reading or guest blogging, guest appearing in a podcast, you might want a link to your about page on your own page.
Yeah.
So this author is going to be connected across different sites.
Nice. That's kind of actually it. It answers my question.
Yeah, but I think that even if you talk about, there's actually some reading or writing in the general guidelines that right now
misunderstood or what?
Yeah, no, it's like if you read it right now, it's like there are some hobbies and niches that is exempt for this rule about eat, and where it's not important. It's like if you do maybe if you have a blog about chess, playing chess, it's like, okay, this information will never hurt anyone.
I see. What about ideas for gifts or something like that? Yeah, something like
this, ideas will never hurt anyone.
I see. Okay.
So it's like right now there is writing suggestion that some content will never be a part of this. But I don't think that's true forever.
Yeah.
Because I think when Google has this nailed down, then it's a good thing to roll out across everything.
Yeah.
Because if you are suggesting what gift ideas, I know a lot of these gift idea sites, just affiliate sites has never even seen the products before.
Yep.
Yeah. That's just how it works.
It is, yeah.
But if you then have a, instead of this, have a like a guys only blog for maybe for targeting men through for 30 to 50 and you do a blog post about like what's the best thing to give this guy from 30 to 50 and then you have an author profile about writing some stuff that people like from this 30 to 50 age range or something, like you have this male audience and you have this rapport, this what do you call it, this author profile about writing about this stuff you read about, like cool cars, cool watches and maybe some things that what's the best whiskey of 2019 and so on. So you have this profile built. So if you go around and compete with this person, then at some point maybe the link profile would not be the same importance as the actual eat profile of the author.
I see. Yeah.
So if you could just build an e-profile analyzer into Morningscore, that would be nice.
Thanks. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll update you next week
time.
On it. Yeah. Yeah. Great.
Your eat score is 10%.
I have a question now. Okay. So from the whole thing, I kind of understand or rather wonder about one thing, and that is at what point does it become like kind of like critical mass so that your whole website gets penalized? Basically, what you said about the smoothies.
I don't know, because I've only seen the whole site penalized in English, American English.
Okay.
Or in English, yeah. I haven't seen it in Danish.
And the smoothies was in Danish or in English?
English.
English?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because I'm thinking now, okay, let's say you have a fully perfect medical site, you give great advice, you check with like 100 doctors and so on and so on, and then you have one post that
crap,
yeah, it's fucked up, it's just something dangerous wrong about it. Is it gonna hurt the rest of your post?
I think so.
Okay.
Damn. But I think the example with Dr. Merkula is because that he might be mentioned all over the place as an anti-vaccine dude and has some very doubtful information. Mm-hmm. So she should just like change his name.
Get a new nickname.
Dr. Mengele. No, I. No, no, that's not good. Okay.
Yes. Next topic.
Eat. I think it's going to be important for all of you to. I have actually the ambition to do an eat checklist.
Okay.
For. If it do this, do this, do this, do this, and go on to like start from the most simple stuff to the most advanced stuff in the end. Like an advanced trick could be to write or make someone write an ebook in your name.
Yeah.
Post it, and there's something called Smashbooks or Smashwords or something where you can publish a document. I'll just upload a doc, and then it will publish this ebook everywhere.
Nice.
Yeah. And then your name will be attached to this book. Maybe if you like write about these horses. like how to horses. Brush your horse. Do a post about how to brush your horse, an ebook about it, and then sell it everywhere for like 10 cents or something, and upload it to Amazon, upload it to all these sites. I don't know. Do you have it open right now?
Just have it here. Yeah,
it's like maybe 20 sites or 100 sites or something.
Well, I can't see exactly where.
Okay. I think it will upload it automatically.
How to publish on Smashwords? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Yeah, something like 15
sites. Okay, I'm in puffy.
No, 21.
Okay, I'm an author in Denmark, so for like a physical book. But in Denmark, we have a system where you just send the book to something. It's a Danish government-owned organization who. Send all the books from all the bookstores. So when I give them I get published on 25 sites at once.
Whoa.
So I'm everywhere because of this. But I think in the US or in international, you could do this ebook and do it, maybe record it as an audiobook and go on Audible and go on Amazon and go on all this and just upload it everywhere.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden you are a published author and you can do this for like, I would guess that an ebook with some design and so on, like $1,000 to $2,000 on Upwork, and you will have some great work.
Mm-hmm. But then I have a problem again with all of this eat and like Google penalizing like smaller websites. It kind of seems to me that like some big monopolies can be born around all of this, and it's a little bit worrying for someone who's just starting a website. Or
But every website was just started at some point.
Yeah, but okay, let's say now I'm like SEO Bulgaria's best doctor, right?
Yeah.
And I decide to start a website for the first time.
Ah, fuck.
Okay.
So,
yeah.
Let's go on.
I'm Bulgaria's best doctor. I've never published anything in the media. Yeah, of course, my name is mentioned here and there, but I don't have a blog. And now I decide I want to start a blog because I want to teach people. I'm old now. I don't want to work anymore, but I still want to help.
It's just a lot of work, but you can do it, you.
Can you?
Yeah, you can.
Okay.
I think it's all possible. You just have to abide by all these eat criteria. You can do your own name, Doctor Bulgarian Man.
Bulgarian Doctor.
Yeah, and use the doctor title, which is I don't know what about in Bulgaria, but in Denmark it's a protected title. You can't just call yourself a doctor.
Oh yeah, it probably is.
Yeah. So if you do this and get this mentioned everywhere, then work it just like you're going to promote everything else. If it is a business, if you if you write maybe for every time you write 10 or 25. Articles on your own post, then you maybe do an external something.
Oh, okay.
So I think that's as a doctor, it is easier to get mentioned online, because if you post yourself as a many doctors are busy.
Yeah.
So exactly. Maybe active doctors don't want to like give their 5 cents about or about some topic.
Mm-hmm.
But if you write something and if I write something and I want the doctor's approval of something or want the doctor's opinion on something,
mm-hmm.
then at some point, I have actually a very specific tip for this.
Okay, go ahead.
Help a reporter out.
Oh yeah, that's a fucking great resource.
Yeah, if you're a doctor.
And if you have time.
Yeah, if you have time and you're a doctor, I actually think that that's a really good resource. Yes.
That's true.
Because I think a lot of doctors don't have the time to, for doing exactly. this. Yeah. So if you are an actual doctor, want to do this doctor injury thing, knee injury, then go into this Helper Reporter out. It's called HARO.com.
Yeah, HARO. Yeah.
And then submit yourself as an expert.
Yes, and if you work for a HARO, we are always looking for sponsors. So
yeah. So I want to be an expert in SEO and the.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think it requires a lot, and many people I know skip doing this Helper Reporter out because it's like 95 times out of 100 it's without a link.
Not necessarily. I just don't get a lot of like how you call it? I don't get featured a lot after I submit my post or whatever it is.
Okay.
But when I do get a link. Almost like I actually haven't not gotten a link.
Okay.
Like every time. But one thing we forgot to mention is that it's free. Because someone might be thinking, oh, how much does that cost?
Yeah, it's really. It's not free. It requires a lot of time.
Yeah. Okay. Yes.
So if you're a doctor, it's expensive.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get an intern sitting in and do your do your what you call it your actual statements as a doctor.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah. So that's actually a great tool. We'll maybe look into doing this for our international sites. What?
Now you motivate me, because we have some interns at our company, and I'm kind of looking at like what should I give them to do now. You know, how do I put them out in the real world of SEO? And I think this is actually a great resource. Just let them figure.
Don't
out.
Do it. We are don't just forget we just said the Helper Reporter.
Yes.
So we can do it all of our own.
More
so
for us, eh?
Do you actually have some news with that's not regarding Google?
Yeah, okay. About Facebook. Let me just find it. But we have spoken about this already. Actually, I
heard
Facebook
that TikTok has surpassed Instagram in India.
I think TikTok is going to be huge.
Right now, it looks like TikTok is going to demolish some of the markets,
but it's kind of like Vine the way it was like a few years ago. It's just funny videos for, and Snapchat is just like crazy and exponential
Snapchat
growth.
I think TikTok is going to be what Snapchat could have been,
maybe,
but it's for every generation, that for the 13-year-olds right now.
It's a young audience, like eventually the audience gets like,
but if you have a long young audience target group,
100%,
100%. TikTok, I think it's exploding.
And I know we don't talk about ads, but this is a perfect moment to talk about Snapchat and their ads, because they have some crazy good targeting nowadays. And they also have like some VR stuff. I saw a demonstration of Snapchat's advertising at a conference here in Copenhagen, but they really stepped their game up. I think they're
Where are the ad edge conference?
Tech Barbecue.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So there was a Snapchat guy that made a presentation, and I asked him specifically about this, like, how do you compare like to Facebook and to Google's targeting and like the options that you have in those platforms for you to advertise? And he said he's something like 70, the platform is something like 70 or 80% there. You can do most of the advanced stuff. It's just some of the like super like specific things you can't do yet.
Okay.
I haven't really tried it yet.
To be just like a lot cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. It's kind of like, I think when I first started in online marketing and I first met you, when I started like kind of working for you, you told me that in the very beginning of Facebook's advertising, you started that and it was crazy cheap. And I think this is the same
case. And
YouTube.
Oh my God, that was cheap.
Yeah.
So it's like, whoa.
It's the same case. And I think Pinterest is the same case now like that as well.
Yeah, I think Pinterest too is just like, but it's going to, the heydays are shorter.
Yeah.
because the businesses, the big businesses, are online and they are moving fast.
Yeah.
But when I when they opened money. YouTube ads in Denmark, it was like we were 10 companies got access. My God, I bought millions of views. It's just like for it. And then we looked at the bill. It's like, what? Is this true? Is this wrong? It's like, I remember buying like 500,000 pre-rolls for 5,000 kroner, like $1,000.
Not even. It's, yeah, 700 bucks.
Yeah, but yeah, it's like, what? Is this real?
Yeah.
And our biggest misdoing, what do you call it? Our biggest mistake was we had no video implementing skills at that point.
Yeah. I mean,
so it was crap. I remember doing a video in an animation in a crappy animation in iMovie or in the Windows Movie Maker.
Yeah.
Movie Maker. Yeah. It was like, you know, this the ugly standard font scrolling down with the ads and then just like in free music in the background. I paid for advertising for this stuff. And it just worked. blinking message.
Shit.
Like, we have an offer blinking in the middle. Just a stock photo. And with this, I said, we have discounted outlet right now. Something like, it's in the Danish called Tilbud, it's the same as like just sale.
Yeah.
So it's just like sale 50% and then domain name just blinking. I paid for this on YouTube, just like, yeah, man, this is very, very cheap.
Great statistics.
No, there were no statistics at that point.
Oh, fuck.
So we only had views.
Okay.
So we didn't know anything. But if I knew now what I knew, or the other way around, if I knew that back then what I knew today with about tracking and attribution, I would just like hammer that buy button, like buy like 2 million, 10 million views every month. It's just like, we need this. Fuck. We need to build a channel. We should have built a channel. We could have built the biggest fucking mega YouTube channel just by promoting our own channel.
Yeah, exactly.
Crazy stuff.
But did you have analytics back then? Could you attribute like?
Yeah, but it worked like shit with the YouTube stuff because we got approved for the click on the, but people don't click the video.
No.
So you can't attribute like it's like attribution on television ad.
Yeah. Okay.
So we had done it maybe a discount code or something.
Okay, yeah, I see. But they go directly, you mean, like direct traffic if they see the ad, like the name there?
Yeah, but we tried to figure out what it was worth, but yeah.
Yeah, but actually, I have some news about Pinterest again, like some ads. Basically, they're launching like Shop the Look ads, and they can offer multiple products. So let's say I have a picture of you with a shirt and jeans. You can put two different ads on the shirt and the jeans in Pinterest.
Just like Facebook.
Well, yeah, I think that you could tag like in Facebook at some point. Yeah, I guess this one is also like a great opportunity because dirt cheap. And then Snapchat also extends the length of video ads from 10 seconds to 3 minutes now, which is quite a lot, 3 minutes.
I don't know how long. I only use Snapchat for like
family
photos.
Yeah. Yes. But basically the Facebook news that I wanted to mention before were that they are officially starting to hide likes on posts.
On Facebook?
Yeah, but I mean, I think it's like a test.
On Instagram, right?
Yeah, Instagram is already doing it, I think, in Australia. Like for the last month or something like that, they've been running it. But I think they like the results, maybe.
Okay.
So they are starting to do it with Facebook, like try it out.
I think it would be...
It's dangerous.
I think it's because they want to get people to buy more ads.
Probably.
So they can't see that this ad is not popular.
Yeah, exactly.
So the ad providers or the ad agencies can't see that if a post is popular or not.
Yeah. I don't know. I think maybe on the back end, quote unquote, you can see your own statistics, but people cannot see. So
but that makes no sense.
Why not?
Because their press releases were about you not chasing the likes.
Oh.
So it's actually they want according to the press releases they need to hide it from the people who actually posts.
Oh, okay. That I didn't know. But I know, okay, the title is Facebook officially starts hiding like counts on posts.
Mm.
Yeah. Let me just see that. But I think that was the whole premise with Instagram as well. I think the poster could see the likes, but like to the public, it was invisible okay. How many people like it. Okay, this is something I have to look
at. Yeah, they're talking about doing it on YouTube as well. Mm-hmm. As well, doing like hiding the...
Yeah, but YouTube, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Because, okay, so I don't know if you probably have seen, but the top tab, the suggested, how do you call it? Like the top videos of the top yeah. whatever it is in YouTube, that's completely rigged. There is a channel, I'm not sure if it was called Nerd Rider, but he actually made like a statistics of several months of data for which channels get how many, like trending tab, sorry, it was mm-hmm. trending tab.
Yeah.
How many times do they appear in the trending tab? So you can see that for traditional media, something like John Oliver, on average, it takes something like 20 times less likes for his video to appear in the trending tab, and that's just in the US, than let's say someone independent who just blew up. So for someone independent, they trend like 3 times, and on average, it takes them 4 million views for them to get to the to trending. Mm. For John Oliver, it takes like 50,000 or 200,000 views or likes or whatever it is to get a trending video.
Why do you think that is?
Because it's rigged. Because they did the same like statistics in Canada. And let's say Joe Rogan in the US has trended like 3 times, in Canada 46 times or something like that. So in Canada, there's way less control over what appears on the trending tab than in the US.
Yeah, but Joe Rogan is huge.
Yes, exactly. And he does not appear in the trending tab. Not in the US.
So the trending is bought.
I don't know if you can call it bought, because that's a bit of a speculation, but probably is.
Okay. So, do you have more?
Oh, where do I begin?
Okay.
Yeah, do you want to end it or how?
No, just enlighten me. If we have something like organic growth related for our audience.
Yeah, well, just to let you know, I have a train in 34 minutes.
Mm.
Yes. So, gotta wrap it
now
up.
Now you know that.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, so something interesting, maybe we can quickly discuss it. I haven't really understood the core concept because it was a little bit too complex because it's some patents from Google, but I think I get the premise. Basically, there is a guy called Bill Slavsky. I'm not sure if I'm pronouncing his name right, but he's from GoFish Digital. I haven't checked if it's an agency. That was the eat that I saw on the post, mm-hmm. so I just went with it. But basically, he... was recently looking into some Google patents, and he saw that there is a new patent called adjusted search features. And as far as I understood, what it does is, let's say it adjusts, like it scans the content on the page, and it's kind of like lead scoring if you have a SaaS company, right?
Mm-hmm.
Normally the algorithm rates, like gives a rating to each content piece on a web page.
Yeah.
And this one tries to prioritize stuff that is very relevant to a certain query. So let's say you're looking for Apple versus Android smartphone comparison.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say maybe a comparison table gets the most weight on a web page. So not having a comparison table on your page would naturally just rank your content lower.
Okay.
If you understand what I mean.
Yeah, okay.
Yes. And for those of you that are listening and did not understand any single word of what I said, it's on Search Engine Journal. You can find the source.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, exciting stuff, but Google's changing all the time.
Yeah.
I actually think it's another like speculation that these YML changes
mm-hmm.
is going to be implemented in YouTube as well.
They should.
Yeah, but I think they are going to do, because yeah. like I know some people who say, okay, if you do this weight loss thing, then go to YouTube because there's a big gap in this. You need this before and after videos and so mm-hmm. on. But there is something that you cannot fake in YouTube. You cannot do fake videos of yourself.
What do you mean?
Yeah, if I do a before and after video about me losing weight and then go on and explaining how to lose weight, then it can't be fake. But I can do that in a blog post. I can just tell you how to lose weight and be a fat lord.
I think I think it depends how much you're willing to pay, to be honest. Because you can always get someone to like render you something, you know? like a picture or Photoshop or someone looks like
it. But yeah, it's paying, if you're paying a lot to know, don't even know if it gives you anything in Google's algorithms.
Yeah. But okay, I mean, okay, so this kind of reminds me of what the Danish government recently did. There is a company system called IVS, which is a hybrid company system. Basically, you can start it with 1 kroner, which is like 30 cents, 30 something like that. So they killed it. So as far they killed the IVS.
IVS?
The
The type
of company.
Yeah, I was pro that.
Yeah, exactly. But this is, in my opinion, what's going on. So they killed it with the argument that scammers can now not start companies. But scammers are usually the ones that can get the initial 40K that it costs to make an APS type of
that's not the 5,000. That's not the problem. This is for a whole other podcast. But the problem was that many people started this and got like credit because you could do credit if you have a a company, and you could do you buy on credit all the time if you buy B2B.
Yeah, but that's ridiculous, because then they should have just blocked this one. They should have just like stopped you from being able to take credit on an IVS type of company instead of blocking
you. No, because that's not government related.
Why?
I have lost a lot of money to IVS companies, so I am happy.
Yeah, but so here's the thing now. Okay, let's say you have an entrepreneur who's has a good idea, who's very work, like he's ready to work hard, or she, of
then
course.
Then he can do a company still.
Yeah.
With his own name, we have the, we have always had the opportunity to make a company. It's just very Danish tax law there, but the thing is to be able to make an entity stand on its own and take the fall. You will have to have some cash put in.
Yeah,
but because it's like a gap between you and the company. But if you do. You could go out and make yourself a business right now. It's actually almost free. Yeah. But if you do credit, you do the credit.
Yeah, it's not limited liability as it was with the IVS.
Yeah. And we needed that. Actually, I think the APS, as in old days where I started, it's like 100,000, 125, maybe 150,000 it was. So, yeah, but yeah. We don't have to talk about this in the podcast. We can talk about it afterwards. That. So, thank you for listening. I'm sorry for the content tilt. I'll call it like we go out on a little bit of sidestep.
Yes.
We don't have a lot of subscribers yet. I hope you will help us to spread the word about this podcast, The Other Marketing Guys. Subscribe if you like it, or if you even just want to hear how this is going and how far we're going to take it. Give us maybe a little review on iTunes, especially because the system is rigged. we don't just want to hear what you like the best, what you maybe like us to change, what you like us to optimize, what you like us to do better. Maybe you like us to speak louder, or you like us to speak a little
calmer.
Yeah. So give us your ratings and your reviews and your subscription, and we will be happy. Thank you.
Bye.